It's become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's National Intel Report. This Tuesday, January 22nd, 2019, and there's a residue on me from Martin Luther King Day, and that's sort of what is kind of coming out. You know, I just wish that we could have a more honest discussion. We're really not generally honest about anything in America anymore, unfortunately. I wish we were, and I think we should be. And so, you know, if this comes across as a sort of rant, I apologize. I'm your guest host, Chris Hinckley. I mean, maybe I do, maybe I don't. Who knows? Sitting in for John Stadmiller this Tuesday, day after Martin Luther King Day, 2019. And, you know, again, to sum it up, I mentioned this morning, but Frederick Douglass once said, he is a lover of his country who rebukes and does not excuse its sins. And that's kind of how I feel. Do you feel the same way? By the way, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. It's interesting. I've said for a long time that a long time, you know, certainly in the post-9/11 era, most definitely. Amos 8:11-12. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea, and from north even to the east, they will go to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. And we all know that there are forces who have been anxious to push out, for example, you know, the Ten Commandments here and there and whatever. You know, have no other gods before me. That's certainly offensive, right? You shall not make for yourself an idol or graven image. Oh my goodness. You know, shall not take the Lord, your name, the name of the Lord, your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. Oh, those are terrible things. I mean, who would advocate such horrible things? Shall not steal. Shall not bear false witness. Shall not covet. You know, who would have the audacity to advocate we honor our mother and father and don't murder and don't steal or commit adultery? I mean, don't bear false witness, which is different than lying. By the way, there is a distinction, and the CIA could probably define it for us in typically plausible, deniable fashion. So who would advocate such horrible things? Meanwhile, have we all seen Aaron Melissa Dyke's video from last week? Does society realize it's being initiated? And they open the video with a quote from Michael Hoffman. What we are witnessing in the wake of the public enactment of these alchemical psychodramas, whose spiritual consequences for mankind are far more momentous than most have thus far guessed, is a process of global occult initiation. So you got to push this stuff out of the way so you can bring that stuff in the vacuum. And we need to be honest. We need to have an honest conversation. And I'll tell you what, the difficulty, I think, is that the brutal honesty of it, which, you know, is a disingenuous term I don't like, but, you know, the point is, the hard reality of it is that it's not happening out there. It's happening in here to each one of us. And we're all drifting, I think. Society, as Aaron and Melissa point out in that video, does society realize it's being initiated? We are all, I would say, in part responsible, because if we each draw a line and we don't cross it, again, Jefferson, a departure from principle in one instance becomes a precedent for a second, that second for a third, and so on. Until the bulk of society are reduced to mere automatons of misery with sensibilities left but for sinning and suffering, he wrote. So if we have these lines, we're not going to cross this one. Not going to do it. Not going to happen. Exodus 18:21, furthermore, you shall select out of all the people, able men who fear God, men of truth, that those who hate dishonest gain, and shall place these over them as leaders. Oh, well, now there's an idea. Versus, you know, everything we've been advocated to remember by those old dead white guys who were just a bunch of crazy racists. Oh, wait, maybe not so much. Don't read those guys. Whatever you do, don't learn cursive, kids, so that you can actually read what Thomas Jefferson and John Adams were writing back and forth to one another with your own eyes. Heaven forbid you actually do that. We can't have any of that, can we? So we need to be honest. And I was talking about the chapters of Hayek's Road to Serfdom and how it's a continuum. It's, you know, it's glacial speed and then bam, we arrive there in an instant. Kind of like that, you know. And I always think of Aldous Huxley's words, the awful, infamous, you know, it just makes me, grosses me out. I can hear his voice. The charm of history and its enigmatic lesson consist in the fact that from age to age, nothing changes, and yet everything is completely different. Bam, that's how it happens. And that's, I think that's kind of sort of the point that Hayek is making in The Road to Serfdom with the chapters. Because they're not blunt force instruments. The Abandoned Road, Great Utopia, individualism and collectivism, the inevitability of planning in democracy, planning and the rule of law, economic control and totalitarianism. Wait, isn't that redundant? Who and whom? Who, whom? Security and freedom, why the worst get on top. And then we get to chapter 11, the end of truth. Aha. And he talks about the pervasive nature of propaganda and what has happened. You know, Adam Curtis, was it 2004 or two? The four-part BBC series, Century of the Self, beginning with Edward Bernays. You know, the image makers, of whom Ivy Lee was one, the guy who remade John D. Rockefeller's image, because people used to think he was a miserly, despicable curmudgeon of a man. And then along comes Ivy Lee, has him throwing dimes at kitties on the sidewalk, and oh, he's such a wonderful philanthropist. Cut from the cloth of William Devil Bill Livingston Rockefeller. And again, I mean, I mentioned it several times on Road Warrior Radio, but those who have not seen, James Corbett does such a remarkable job. You know, CorbettReport.com/Big Oil, for example. You know, just great stuff. CorbettReport.com/Big Oil/WW1/MLK, since yesterday was Martin Luther King Day. If you're not familiar with the William Pepper discussion, definitely check that out or even revisit it. And then share it with, you know, mystify friends and family at parties. Anyway, so CorbettReport.com/Big Oil, October 6, 2017 already. How and why Big Oil conquered the world. Two parts. Brilliant, but in part one, he's talking about this character, Dr. Bill Livingston, celebrated cancer specialist who actually wasn't a doctor and was really Devil Bill, William Avery Rockefeller. And it was his son, John D. Rockefeller, who would go on to found the Standard Oil monopoly. You know, the one that Smedley Butler said that he was helping to advance around the world. But James Corbett did a good job. He put it this way. The world we live in today is the world created in Devil Bill's image. That is so brilliant. And if you, you know, just let that, if the magnitude of that doesn't resonate, just let it sink in. Because it's a brilliant point and it's absolutely on point. The world we live in today is the world created in Devil Bill's image. It is a world founded on treachery, deceit. Well, I got to back up a little bit for those who don't know, even those of us who do. When he wasn't running away from folks he'd cheated or disappearing for years at a time on his family, and that is among others, he would teach his children the tricks of his treacherous trade. He once bragged of his parenting technique. I cheat my boys every chance I get. I want to make them sharp. Skipping ahead, James Corbett said, the world we live in today is the world created in Devil Bill's image. It's a world founded on treachery, deceit, and the naivete of a public that has never wised up to the parlor tricks that the Rockefellers and their ilk have been using to shape the world for the past century and a half. True, haven't wised up, but you know what? We've had help, haven't we? You know, speaking of the Rockefellers and, you know, Board of Education and all of the countless think tanky philosopher kings who've rewritten history for this pottery of individuals. So we need to be honest. Chapter 11, The End of Truth, Hayek's Road to Serfdom. The End of Truth. And Hayek talks about the pervasive nature of propaganda. It can't be reserved to one area. It has to be pervasive. Rampant and pervasive. It has to be, you know, the lexicon of the day. That's America. Again, how many of these signs do we pass on the road to serfdom? What are we honest about in America these days? Remember 3 years ago now, 2016, Oxford English Dictionary, Word of the Year, Post-Truth. Yeah, don't give me the facts. That's boring. It's so boring. Give me a persuasive argument. Gosh, that's interesting because in Bertrand Russell's Impact of Science on Society, that's what he wrote. We now know that Limelight and Brass Band do more to, you know what, so he wrote in chapter 2, mass psychology, that's where it's at, man. In a scientific dictatorship, the impact of science on society, a cybernetic, totalist, technocratic, scientific dictatorship. What went wrong formerly, he wrote, was that people read books in books that man is a rational animal and framed their arguments on the hypothesis that man is a rational animal. We now know that Limelight and Brass Band do more to persuade than can be done by the most elegant train of syllogisms. So that's what they do. Limelight and Brass Band. It's another award show, or it's America's Got Talent, or it's The Voice, or it's a charismatic church service, or, you know, a rock concert or whatever. They all sort of operate the same. What? Now you're talking crazy. No, remember Aaron Dyke's article, True Stream Media article back in May of 2017, William Sargent, Dark General in the Battle for the Mind, talking about William Sargent's book and how Sargent, after studying all of this, these guys figured out that the average charismatic church service has the same, or these political speeches or these rallies, it all has the same effect as a voodoo ritual. I mean, according to the experts, can we be honest about any of this? I mean, I haven't even gotten to, I was going to mention some excerpts from Milton Mayer's They Thought They Were Free, 1955. Remember? They thought they were free, the Germans, 1933 to 45. Or how about William Bloom's Rogue State, A Guide to the World's Only Superpower, published in 2005. It's like 1,200 pages packed in 308 pages. If you believed that the NATO, read U.S., he adds parenthetically, bombing of Yugoslavia for 78 days and nights in 1999 was a humanitarian, wink, wink, act, Rogue State hopefully can serve as a wake-up call to both your intellect and your conscience. It is a mini encyclopedia, indeed that is, of the numerous unhumanitarian acts perpetrated by the United States since the end of the Second World War. Gore Vidal wrote of it, Rogue State forcibly reminds us of Vice President Agnew's immortal line, the United States, for all its faults, is still the greatest nation in the country. Exactly. And Peter Dale Scott wrote, critics will call this a one-sided book. But, you know, reality is sometimes one-sided, isn't it? But it is an invaluable corrective to the establishment portrait of America as the world's greatest force for peace, right? What did George Carlin say about that? Remember that? Even confirmed opponents of U.S. interventionism can find much in this important book that will both educate and shock them. Are we handing out copies everywhere after we're being more honest with ourselves and one another? You know, I think we ought to be honest with ourselves first, and then we can maybe talk. Let's go to the phones. Mark in Florida, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, good evening, Chris. Thanks for letting me in.
You bet, Mark. Thanks for calling.
Carry on, I would add, please don't bother me with facts and evidence. Just tell me what I want to hear.
Right.
Yeah. I'm wondering that in your journeys, have you found that Washington, Adams, and Hamilton were, I would say, despotically opposed to Jefferson and sought to rid the world of him, I suppose, without putting a bullet in his head?
I don't know that I would put it quite that way. No, I haven't gotten that far. Do you hold that view?
I do, because Adams as president and Jefferson as vice president approved that no one could insult the government except for the vice president.
Yeah.
Washington was attempting to position himself to run against Jefferson, but fortunately he died.
Yeah.
So, and Hamilton himself was a central banker.
Right.
And one
establishment
the
tool.
Exactly. So yep. They were all, and Washington himself, riding on horseback, demanding the distillers pay him tribute, but he wouldn't accept a gallon of moonshine. He wanted gold or silver, or he put a gun to their head. So our entire founding, out of the Articles of Confederation and into the Constitution, was, in my opinion, the end of the Republic.
Interesting perspective. It's always fascinating to me. I try to... Well, let's continue after the break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Took it all away. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. We're on phones. Mark in Florida.
You know, I'm still
it's,
here.
It's interesting. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting looking back from at least from my vantage point, and I'm certainly no expert, but there were these paradoxes, you know, these juxtapositions, I guess you might say. Guys like Andrew Jackson and his fight against the Second Central Bank of the United States, very clear. You know, his 1837 farewell address is very unequivocal. He is a man of the people, and his actions prove that he was vehemently opposed to the central bank. His words reflect that opposition, especially in his farewell address in 1837. And yet his treatment of the savages, as they were referred to, you know, reprehensible. you know, Jefferson, I would say one of the wisest, if not the greatest statesman America has ever known. And yet, you know, an Adam Weishaupt sympathizer, and has some other interesting, you know, this whole Unitarian philosophy, I kind of just kind of, you know, find very peculiar for a man of his intellect, or maybe not.
Well,
maybe I'm just not smart enough to know, but
yeah.
And then Washington, you know, and I mean, there are so many issues.
Jefferson. With Jefferson, put it this way. He was surrounded by pirates.
Yeah.
There were so many self-serving SOBs.
Yeah.
With the Constitution, there's a method to amend the Constitution.
Yeah.
With the Articles of Confederation, every state had to approve any law passed by Congress before it took effect.
Yeah.
And that was the ultimate, like a hammer to the amendment procedure. If every state didn't approve it, it didn't happen. It had to be a majority.
Well, again, it's interesting. You know, you have the sort of dichotomy represented in the Federalist and Anti-Federalist arguments. And so in that case, I mean, again, I would come forward to today and say it's pretty irrelevant by today's standards, because if the people are so dumbed down and docile and so propagandized and misled, they'll believe anything, and they'll become a clamoring mob for any cause that's paraded in front of them, then what difference does it make? And they become the tyrant's majority anyway. And so that, to me, again, makes me circle back to Jefferson's bill for the more general diffusion of knowledge, for example, where he's saying, if we learn from, we learn the lessons of history, you know, and he's saying, if we give the people at large, you know, if we illuminate, unfortunately, is the word he used, as far as practicable, the minds of the people at large, and more especially to give them the knowledge of those facts which history exhibiteth, that possessed thereby the experience of other ages and countries, they may be enabled to know ambition under all its shapes, and prompt to exert their natural powers to defeat its purposes. That, man, I mean, is that not a good thing? It sounds like the antithesis of the William Devil, Bill Rockefeller types, where they're trying to make sure that people remain ignorant so that they can keep playing their stupid parlor tricks. And if we get a general sense of, you know, when we're here and when they say freedom and democracy, what they really mean, kids, is socialism, communism, fascism, and hegemony. And when we see these, you know, allegedly humanitarian groups, when they say Albert Einstein Institute and, you know, National Endowment for Democracy, what they really mean is Gene Sharp, CIA Color Revolution, or as William Bloom put it in Rogue State, Trojan Horse. You know, if we could get that out, that seems like a good thing.
Well, I think of it this way. That if Jefferson, instead of being, and they all were, instead of trying to be eloquent in their speaking,
yeah,
if they just spoke simple, easy language,
yeah,
that Jefferson said, if the people would receive the true facts and evidence, then they can draw a reasonable conclusion to the events.
Yep.
And come to a solution.
Yep. Yeah, and he was, you know, he said, and it's ironic that there was a history piece I saw recently, and they did a good job of pointing out that Jefferson and Adams were aristocrats. Hamilton was a bastard who, you know, these guys acted more like men of the people. Hamilton was an aspiring aristocrat. Anyway, no wonder he was a useful idiot.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine, plowman dig my earth. None will level on the mine, nobody of it is worth.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's National Intel Report, this Tuesday, January 22nd, 2019. Thanks, Mark, for your call. I appreciate it. And it's interesting, you know, I'm always curious what other people's insights are. What I was trying to say, I think, earlier, not quite sure how to sum up, but I try to, you know, reflect honestly on those things that I read in history, and I try to take a fair cross-section of it and just see, you know, do the words match, do the actions match the words and so forth. It's interesting, though. Those times, man, it seems an interesting juxtaposition to me. I mean, you have these guys, you know, in the Federalist Papers writing what they wrote, and very civil and very intellectual, and generally their discourse, even though, you know, they were at times, very diametrically opposed in their beliefs. You know, like Jefferson put it in his inaugural address, but every difference of opinion is not a difference of principle. We have called by different names brethren of the same principle. We are all Republicans. We are all Federalists. If there be any among us who would wish to dissolve the Union or to change its Republican form, let them stand undisturbed as monuments of the safety with which error of opinion may be tolerated, or reason is left free to combat it. I mean, that's a heck of an eloquent way to put that. And yet, you know, I mean, you have the scandal of the Jackson administration and the blustery turmoil of another interloper in John C. Calhoun, and you know, the Hamilton Burr duel, and which I guess, you know, proves Robert Heinlein right that an armed society is a polite society. You know, I mean, imagine if that happened these days. What happened? Two guys out in the street, you know, black powder, boom. One's still standing, the other is not. And, you know, speaking of Old Hickory, he was no stranger to that. Quite a story as far as that is concerned, you know, in his history. Can you imagine, though? You know, what happened? This gentleman insulted this gentleman's wife, and this gentleman decided he'd had enough of it for the last time. And out into the street they went. Can you imagine in today's America? Holy cow. Anyway, I appreciate your perspective, Mark, and thank you for sharing it. Back to the phones. Pat in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris. I didn't really want to. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi.
I didn't really want to be eloquent there, but I wanted to ask you some questions because you know the Bible, and I've been challenged by a guy named Stephen DeNoon on Israel News Live, and he says, according to the Bible, Israel should not be attacking Syria. I don't want to get into all that. I just started thinking about it. And why is he going with Catholics? Have you ever heard of the fact that Shimon Peres gave 60% of Jerusalem to the Catholic Church?
No, I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, well, he tried to deny it, but anyway, with this liberation theology coming from South America is the Catholic Church, and it was started by Soviets, what they say, a spy, a KGB spy tells about how they took over South America because the people were poor, and that's what they sold them, a bill of goods. And so the Pope is going around now, you know, saying no walls, just bridges, and he has walls around the Vatican, however. But the point is that this Pope doesn't even appear Christian at all. And you're familiar with the part of the Bible. Now, this is me thinking, you know, that the Antichrist is going to sit in Jerusalem and declare himself God in the temple in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, if the Pope has got 60% of it, and he calls himself God on earth, why wouldn't he sit in the temple when it's built and call himself God? That's what he does now. And the church, well, they don't all. Everybody's not the same. Don't get me wrong. I know Laura Grove says she didn't worship the Pope. But still, that liberation theology, is communism. It's ruined South America and Cuba and Mexico. And, of course, it's coming here. And I know the Muslims and the Catholics didn't get along too well back in the day, but probably they're all Democrats now.
Yeah, it's...
But, you know, if they're a dying Catholic, you know, why shouldn't we have liberation theology up here for people? I mean, you know, they deserve a hand up or however they call it, you know.
Well, everybody's playing their role, I think, on the grand stage these days. And, you know, it's interesting. I was caught a little bit of one of the playoff games this past weekend. I'm sort of ashamed to admit, but I did actually. I probably shouldn't even get into that. But it's just interesting that there are certain people, you know, certain names, for example. I mean, you'll never hear of certain folks. And Sebastian Maniscalco, among others, has sort of joked about this, you know, and how certain ethnic groups, for example, are more predisposed to play sports, for example, certain sports. And it's just interesting. So speaking of that crowd that you're talking about, that is a very pervasive ideology, and it's very effective. You know, we can't help think of Karl Marx, the gross paraphrasing, religion is the opiate of the masses, which is not exactly the way he put it. That's actually something folks can look up on Wikipedia even. It's actually pretty eloquent. Religion is the sigh of the oppressed creature, the heart of a heartless world, and the soul of soulless conditions. It is the opium of the people. That's the, you know, fairly close accurate translation as I understand it. But just seeing these groups, I mean, it reminds me of the conversation I've had with friends that I've talked about on the air where they can't see, you know, they can see certain things, but some conflict that should be just very, you know, self-evident to them escapes their notice. And I think, you know,
I was wondering, what did Clinton have to do with it? Because, and it concerns me that Trump wants to do the same thing. Jared Kushner, and they want to divide Jerusalem. And there have been so many prophets who are 18 that if America wants to divide Jerusalem, God's going to divide America. And it's right down the middle. I mean, physically.
Country. Yeah, again, you know, reminds me of those words from history that echo. We have no business doing that kind of stuff. You know, whatever perspective you come from, it seems like we really, you know, if we could be honest with one another, there's really the only people who benefit are the ones who are telling us, you know, that we have to do it, but they never pay for it with their own blood, with their own families. They're the ones who benefit. Meanwhile, the rest of us suffer.
I know, but you mustn't forget that we have the power in the name of Jesus. We just don't use it.
Yeah.
We don't use it. We just get pushed around and fight for justice with them winning.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get you into Bible interpretation, but there's one in Matthew or Luke. It's hard to remember because the devil don't want me to remember. It says the enemies of God are those who would not that God rule over them, bring them forth before me and slay them. Well, all we have to do is tell God what they're doing. Go to him and ask him what could be done about this?
Yeah.
He may want to fight like they did in those days, where stand one in front of the other and shoot. But that's nowadays, I thought war was to win. If Israel bombed yeah. the Russian thing on the ground when it was disabled or asleep, that's just Russia's problem.
And you have other interesting passages, you know, Psalm 2, they're the folks making war, trying to make war against God. And 2 Peter chapter 3, you know, Peter says, knowing this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming, et cetera, et cetera. For ever since, you know, the days of old, everything's been the same. Nothing's changed. And then, you know, Revelation 13, you have the infamous, he'll, you know, this moment where, which, you know, sort of corresponds with what you're saying earlier in 2 Thessalonians. That was chapter 2, but chapter 11, where the restrainer is taken out of the way. But Revelation 13, where the beast will be able to make war against the saints and actually prevail.
Maybe, you know, the fact that we let our own country go, we did. Anybody that wants to complain about Tarrant County going blue here, the one of the most Republican ones, which was based on God, home, and country, like Reagan, you know, motto. They didn't vote, see, and I know a lot of people say it's no need to vote. It doesn't count. Well, that's what they want you to think, see, and then everybody else takes credit for it, of why it went blue. Well, it went blue because of DACA's. Those people are telling their parents, you know, vote for Beto. He's for the Mexicans, and he's far from it. Far from it, and they don't know it. See, we're not training all the people coming in. We're not informing them.
Yeah.
You know, current situations right now, which I would not want a constitutional convention right now. I would take those
right.
guys a lot over any now.
Right. Yeah, and you know, speaking of Jefferson and immigration, I think he had some very wise words on that as well. And, you know, speaking of what you're talking about, and it used to be, that used to be the thing, you know, people would show up here and, you know, I think the operative concept was when in Rome, do as the Romans. And that was what you did. You assimilated yourself. And there's that whole different discussion. I mean, the, that graphic, you know, you look at the Immigration Act of 1965 in particular, and what has happened. I mean, the shift over the last 200 years, which seems to correspond to some of that foreign and domestic policy hijinks. But Jefferson, talking about too rapid a population growth and basically saying, you know, it would be a miracle. What did he say? They will bring with them the principles of a government they leave imbibed in their early youth, or if able to throw them off, it will be in exchange for an unbounded licentiousness, passing as usual from one extreme to another. And he said it would be a miracle were they to stop precisely at the point of temperate liberty. But see, this is something, again, that bad guys know, and that's why we see so much of this, what Kelly Greenhill referred to as coercive engineered migration, because it's a great way to disrupt culture and, you know, burn down traditions and
right.
Institutions, so to speak, when we should all be sort of banding together. You know, one of the things that I was thinking of when we were talking about the liberation theology stuff and that sort of subject is whenever, you know, this one friend of mine in particular that I'm talking about, whenever we start to go down this road a little bit, inevitably I feel like I need to say, but hey, remember There are the stories. You can go find the stories. Muslims protect Christians. Just go, folks, stick in your favorite search engine, Muslims protect Christians. You'll see BBC, Independent, Washington Post, New York Times. You'll see mainstream stories. That doesn't get really much coverage, but we hear the other stuff. And so my point is,
read the Quran, they go by, right? Shouldn't you read the Quran and see what it says? We have one here who goes to the mosque, and he said he didn't know what Sharia law was. Really?
Yeah, but it's the same thing. No, really. Think about how many Christians couldn't recite the Ten Commandments. Probably couldn't even get through half of them. And so there's that issue. And again, as far as that radical stuff is concerned, that all comes straight out of Saudi Arabia, the wellspring of Wahhabism, Salafism, and Deobandism. Final segment coming up. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Kick down, break down, take down. Everybody wants into the crowded line. Break down, take down. You busted, busted. Shake down, break down, take down. Just about the time you think it's all.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's National Intel Report. I think Robin Cook put it best the day after the London 7/7 bombings in The Guardian back in 2005. When he wrote, Osama bin Laden is no more a true representative of Islam than General Mladic, who commanded the Serbian forces, could be held up as an example of Christianity. After all, it is written in the Quran that we were made into different peoples, not that we might despise each other, but that we might understand each other. He also wrote throughout the 80s about bin Laden, He was armed by the CIA and funded by the Saudis to wage jihad against the Russian occupation of Afghanistan. Al-Qaeda, literally the database, quote-unquote, was originally the computer file of the thousands of Mujahideen who were recruited and trained with help from the CIA to defeat the Russians. And incidentally, or consequently, that I believe was the article that ultimately got him killed because he was dead less than a month later. We can't have that kind of talk. We can't be talking about the facts. Anyway, thank you, Pat, as always. I appreciate your call. And I'm going to jump back to the phones here in the last moment. Mike at Colorado, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, Chris, thanks for having me. I always appreciate it when you fill in for John. You've got so much information, and I don't get to listen to you in the daytime. The reason I wanted to call was, as I listen, I've been listening to this kind of radio for, you know, 15, 16, so many years, and I don't think we broaden out the conversation big enough, even with all the history that people talk about. For example, with Andrew Jackson, I picture a five-year-old Andrew Jackson being told by everybody around him his entire lifetime that the Red Savages are not human and whatever we do to them doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So I don't see that as a character flaw or a scandal. I think that he was a product of his environment just like all the rest of us. And when we judge these people based on our current knowledge or our current beliefs, I think we make a mistake, which is, you know, either here nor there.
I agree, and that's something that I try to point out. You know, I said what I said to that effect today, and, you know, I've mentioned the T-shirt that should raise some eyebrows. You know, Homeland Security since 1492, that kind of thing. some of us have seen those shirts. And I agree, you know, and so the point should be not, to me, the big takeaway there is not that we should fight more about stuff, but that we should take what you're saying together with, you know, those lessons of history, and we should actually be the people that we, you know, aspire to be.
I completely agreed. And that, to me, that takes me to the next step where when we look at why our alleged Patriot or Truth movement kind of doesn't get a lot of traction is a modern American doesn't know what liberty is. They've never lived it. They've never experienced it.
Nope.
If they have a driver's license or a fishing license or had a report card, they have no clue what liberty is. So for us to try to fight for liberty, we can aspire to be that if we have some historical knowledge like you have and like you share. But to expect people to take something and have a mental understanding of something they never experienced is really tough.
Yeah.
A lot to expect of people. But thanks for your show, brother.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your call. You know, you think of Samuel Adams, may your chains sit lightly upon you. May posterity forget you are a countryman. It is interesting. You know, you stop doing that licensing thing for a moment. It's kind of cool, you know, and then the rest of the herd, you know, are we a pot of crabs or are we a barrel of monkeys pulling each other out or pulling each other back in? It is a provocative observation. Thank you, Mike, for your call. Sovereign Man, sorry we missed you. You know, I always like to say I hope it was informative, and I agree with Mike. We need to broaden our thinking and the discussion with it. Thank you, John, for letting me sit in, and to you, the audience. I hope it was informative. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.